Well, as I mentioned, I really do love this story from the Gospel of Mark. It is a favorite, beloved story. I think it lends itself a little bit to some comedic value. If you think about, when I read it, I don't know how I read it at the 8 a.m. service, but when I read the gospel story, everybody started laughing when I got to the part about Jesus napping or something. But, you know, it is kind of a funny story, and yet I think it deals with some very important or serious issues. But I have seen people sort of make light of the story. I think I saw the title of a sermon once. It was, Jesus Calms the Storm and 12 Grown Men. And I once saw somebody wore a t-shirt at church that said, Jesus Calms the Storm, but not the church nursery. You know, it's a fun story, and yet it's dealing with something I think really, really important. And I think just the imagery of this story is helpful for all of us as people of faith. It is a wonderful reminder that God is there with us to calm the raging seas and storms of life. And we need the reminder. And we need the reminder because, in fact, we do face many storms, right? All of us have personal storms that we deal with at different times. And we're also, I think, living through a period of time, and I know I've talked about this before, but it's important to just describe or call out. We are living in a period of time when there is a tremendous amount of turmoil and wars and just violence, including violence in our nation, that is just so hard for us to manage, to deal with, and to look at. Watching the news is just, it's so hard. And this past week, of course, we celebrated Juneteenth in our nation. It's the same week of the 9th anniversary of the Charleston church shooting, if you remember that targeted the Black community and rocked our nation at the time. I was thinking a lot about it because it was 9 years ago today that we had just had this experience, and the shooting had just occurred. And at church that day, we just changed the whole service around to talk about what had occurred. And we prayed for the 9 victims, 4 of whom were pastors. And we tolled our church bell 9 times. And just what a powerful and moving day that was, and how we wept together as a community. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if, like, we were seeing less of this kind of violence? But if you weren't paying close attention, you might not know that, in fact, this past week was just wrought with violence in our nation. In fact, just between last Friday and this Friday, we had 21 mass shootings in our country. One of them targeted children and families at a splash pad in Detroit. One of them was a shooting at a Juneteenth celebration. And ironically or not, June is the National Gun Violence Awareness Month. And our diocese had invited us to wear orange a few Sundays ago just to bring some awareness to this. And I think it's worth noting that there is a justice issue here, because this is what we know statistically. Black youth are 11 times more likely to die from firearm homicides than their white peers. Latino and indigenous individuals are between 2 and 3 times more likely to be killed that way than their white peers. And I learned recently that the LGBTQIA community, those members are 4 times more likely to be violently attacked, according to a study from UCLA, the School of Law. But I would like to suggest that this issue of violence is important to all of us, and that it impacts all of us. And many of us probably even know somebody who's been directly affected. It came home for me in particular a few years ago when my step-nephew, my sister's stepson, named Cyrus, was killed. He was a tall Latino special needs teenager, 17. And he was killed by four very unnecessary bullets at his home in Southern California. And I was so distraught when it occurred. I wrote a lament after learning about his death. And I wrote this: "This cycle of violence is too much to bear. There is not the accountability necessary on any level. What can we do to change that? How can we bring light and redemption out of the tragedy of Cyrus's premature death?" I'm still asking myself that question. I don't have the answer, but I know I'm not the only one struggling with this, with these challenges. So maybe we all can relate in some way to the disciples in their desperation in this story in the gospel, where we read that huge storm befalls them. The winds rise up, the waves, it says, are beating against the little boat, and it's being swamped, right? They're afraid. They're literally scared they're going to sink. And they cry out in the middle. And of course, Jesus is taking a nap. I mean, have you ever felt like God was asleep when you were in the midst of a storm? It's very disconcerting. But they're afraid. And they say this. This is the line from the book, from the text: "Teacher, don't you even care that we are perishing? That we're dying?" This cry of pain and anguish, I think, is one that many of us, including many people, many communities who have been oppressed throughout history, have cried out in response to the violence, to the tragedy, the storms in their midst. Do you even care that we are perishing? Yes, we do, and God does care. I think we too must care with God, that our compassion and concern must be voiced in the face of violence, because, as the Reverend David Ireland has said, only public compassion can quiet public rage. He said, "The redemptive power of public compassion is what caused Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to say, 'In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.'" Remember that? We need to find our voice to speak words of compassion and healing and justice for all our brothers and sisters. And while justice must be sought, I think forgiveness is also key. I was reminded this week, so as I was going back and thinking about that Charleston shooting, do you remember that the families of those victims all came out and publicly forgave the shooter? Such a powerful, incredibly Christ-centered testimony and approach, revealing this kind of all-encompassing love of God that I think that's the kind of forgiveness only God can grant, right? But my friends, God is not silent. God is not passive in the midst of violence or storms. In response to the disciples' cry, "Do you even care that we are perishing?" Jesus awakens and does something that no one expects. He rebukes the wind and the seas, and he says, of course, to the sea, "Peace, be still." And it actually calms. It obeys him. And he asks, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" The disciples are filled with awe. They ask, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And I think that's a question for us too, in our own sense of faith in the storms. You know, who is this Jesus then that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who do you say that he is and what he can or can't do? We're invited to step back to remind ourselves that God in Christ is so much more powerful than our minds comprehend, that God, as revealed in Jesus, has the power to calm raging storms, and I believe even the storms in our hearts and lives, and in our own nation. In this story, we see that creation obeys the voice it hears in Christ, the voice of the Creator speaking through him, not magically so, but miraculously so. Do you hear echoes of the Exodus story here? Right? The Exodus story, the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, the leading of God's people to freedom. We see it again here in this story. My friends, we serve a mighty Creator who in the book of Job assures us that God has even set limits for the sea, prescribed bounds for it, saying, "Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped." The God that commands the seas, the God that frees God's people out of slavery into freedom, is still in the business of redemption. And we have a chance to participate in that redemption, a redemption that extends to every single human being. Did you hear that? Even the epistle, Paul is reminding us of that. Open your heart, he's saying, to everybody. In our baptismal covenant, we ask this question: will you respect the dignity of every human being? Do you remember the answer? We will, with God's help. We're promising to stand with those in the storms. We serve a God that loves and cherishes every human being, then, and invites us to share God's perspective on all people. All people, every human being. So no matter their race, their gender, their age, their ability, their religion, their nationality, their sexual orientation, their culture, their marital status, their color, their beliefs, their failings, or their successes, we are called to stand alongside every human being, to treat them as made in the image of God. Those who are facing the storms of this life need us to stand with them. We have a calling to speak forth God's peace in the storm. And we do it in faith. So who is this Jesus? This is a Jesus who cares that we are perishing, who cares that people in this nation are perishing. This is a Jesus who has the power to calm the stormy sea, can speak peace and power of Almighty God into situations that appear totally untenable, because nothing is impossible with God. And we get to work with God in bringing about peace and healing to one another in this nation, and in our own communities, and in our families, and in our lives, bringing life out of death. So don't be afraid. Have faith. God is with us. We are not alone. Jesus is in the boat with us. Thanks be to God.